This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, let's go. Goo, by the way, before you leave, you should look at the text line. Oh, my God.
Am I a hater or did I just...
It's everything. It's everything. You're a hater. You're a beggar.
I love you, Goo.
Damn it, I love you, Goo. You're the realist. Someone called you a tweaker. I mean, this is just an unbelievable...
But Frankie might be fancy, huh? That's what you said.
Frankie's fancy. Yeah, he wants FaceTime.
Have a good weekend, Goo.
Yeah. See you, Goo. All right, there it is. Hi, everybody. Grandy's in for dibs. 888-957-9570. Yes, the 49ers made a trade. They made a trade today.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you're excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah, well, let's go. Let's hear about it.
Why? Bryce Huff. Edge rusher. Okay. Defensive end.
Right.
Kind of a pass rush specialist.
Right, but
not going to play first downs. But
very exciting.
Second and long, third down. You're expecting a pass. You throw Bryce Huff in there, and I think Willard, he immediately becomes the best pass rusher the Niners have ever had opposite Nick Bosa.
Ooh.
In those situations.
Ooh, what makes you make that statement? That's a big statement.
He was terrible last year with the Eagles. I think it had more to do with the circumstance in Philadelphia than a lot else. He was amazing 2 years ago with Robert Saleh in the Jets, New York with the Jets.
And the year before that.
Yeah, he was not as good a couple of years.
But very good.
Yeah. 10 sacks, though, 2 years ago with the Jets. And this is as a pass rush specialist. So he's not like Bosa. He's not going to play like 75 or 80% of snaps. He's going to play on second and long and on third down. And that was his role 2 years ago with Robert Saleh in New York. And he had 10 sacks. And in terms of pressure rate, the number of times, the percentage that he gets to a quarterback and pressures the quarterback when he is trying to get to the quarterback, led the NFL in that stat two years ago.
Saleh called him an elite pass rusher and a game closer.
And 2 years ago, he was that. Yep. He absolutely was that 2 years ago. So again, you're not going to see him on first downs very often. And I think that's kind of where he ran into issues with the Eagles last year, is they try to make him an every down pass rusher, and they kind of tried him an outside linebacker, and it didn't work. And I know Baldy was on with Steiny and Goo, and you heard Steiny regurgitate everything Baldy said.
Sure did.
And we could play a little bit of that a little bit later on. But
which, the Baldy or the Steiny sounding like Baldy?
The Baldy.
Okay. Right,
the Baldy.
Like Baldy.
We can just
it's
cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I immediately think that he becomes the best pass rusher the Niners have ever had opposite Nick Bosa. And when you try to figure out the key for the 49ers defense, obviously the run defense was such a major issue. This also allows you to move Mykael Williams into the inside on those situations.
Sure.
And he's kind of a hybrid. He could play outside. He could play inside. The Niners have always been the kind of team who wants to get home when they only rush four. And you do that now with Bryce Huff and Nick Bosa. You have two legitimate pass rush specialists who can do that on a much, much, much higher level than they've had in the recent past. And it allows them to be able to take away other things defensively. So I think this is a win-win, absolute no-brainer decision for the 49ers. You give up a day three pick, maybe a fourth, maybe a fifth. We'll see. And you pay about half of his $17 million that he's due this year. You have a ton of cap space for this season. He's under contract again next year. We'll see. You hope that he's way, way, way better than he was last year. But if he's anywhere near what he was 2 years ago, we're going to look back at the move they made today, and it won't be official for a couple of days until the calendar turns to June. We're going to look back on this as a move that improved the Niners' defense in a big way.
I love it. And the NFL is so interesting this way, where there are players, and I mean players, players who affect the outcomes of football games who the diehard public doesn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Like 95% of an NFL roster is anonymous because of helmets and in the trenches and all of this. So, like, I accept your breakdown. I see all the numbers. I get it, too. It says something very different in a broader sense to me, though. Mm. Like, I'll buy everything that you just said. I think it makes sense. I think it's low risk. I think that when he was working with Robert Saleh 2 and 3 years ago, it was wildly productive. We've watched this particular group have really, really great outcomes with their pass rush in the past when Robert Saleh has been the defensive coordinator of this team. So I have no reason to think that this won't work too. I'm sort of with you with like how the optimism of the offseason has organically risen, even though I don't know if I can sit here and give you the X's and O's of why. It's a broader take, and here's what it is. This team is really leaning back in to essentially having two head coaches. More so maybe than they even did the first time around. Here's what I mean by that. We've long known Kyle Shanahan is obviously the head coach of the team. Kyle's an offensive guy. If you look at the way they did the draft, if you look at the way they are now making moves, not just the way they're doing it, but specifically who they're picking up, they have handed the whole damn other half of the ball to Robert Saleh, and I'm a huge believer.
Acquired three Jets in the last week.
There you go. Like, you can see what he's doing, and don't forget that while you go, well, Saleh wasn't very successful with the Jets, his defense was.
Yeah.
His defense was, and the man never had a quarterback. He never had a quarterback. He was supposed to have a quarterback, and then that quarterback's leg flew off, and then that quarterback became the biggest narcissist in the history of the NFL, and then he came back.
He already was.
Yeah, exactly, and even more so, and old, and aged out, and able to fight. Like, he fired him. He basically fired Robert Saleh and the GM and everybody else, and the whole thing becomes yet another ridiculous Jets story. But if you zero in on what Robert does, it went well. That was a very good defense during his time. I always laugh, like, remember the game that Aaron Rodgers got hurt on opening night against the Bills? You want to know what no one remembers about that game?
The Jets won that game.
The Jets won.
Against the Bills.
Against the Bills.
With Zach Wilson quarterbacking the Jets.
Correct, because their defense was elite. And so the fact is, when you look at what's being done, the 49ers are telling Robert Saleh, dude, and it makes sense. If you think about, like, how'd they get Robert to come back? Immediately off of a head coaching job, everyone thought, he's going to take a year. He's getting paid. He's going to wait for another head coaching job. And I do think
might want the Jaguars head coaching job. And he probably would have taken it if he was offered it.
It was damn close. Exactly. So how do you get that guy to go home again and go back to a defensive coordinator position? I would imagine you're seeing it now, which is, hey, Rob, why don't you just be the head coach of half of this team?
This is your stuff.
This is your baby.
Yeah. And, full control.
And when the Niners had him in charge of this defense, it was amazing, and it took Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. And that's what has me excited.
Yeah. No, I mean, they are. You can, like, go through, and you and Dibs did this yesterday once the Ricky Pearsall hamstring injury news broke. Like, well, what position could you survive an injury to the most? And you go through every position, you're kind of like,
Exactly.
Like, offensive line, no, they need all the help they can get there. Defensive line, same thing. Wide receiver, at least early in the year, they need everyone healthy there. You can't survive an injury to Christian McCaffrey. If Fred Warner goes down, you're cooked. If you lose a safety, you've already lost your safeties. So, like, there's a lot of issues personnel-wise. So you're right. It is kind of difficult to explain why there is this feeling of optimism that I feel deep in my gut about this 49er team, but I think a lot of it is the trust that you have in Robert Saleh. And we think about, like, the Robert Saleh defense is way back when, the 2019 season, that they went to the Super Bowl, and of course we know that they lost, but they were the best defense in the NFL that year, and they were awesome offensively, but it was the defense that was the driving force behind it. And we think of the names that that defense created. Like, that kind of created Nick Bosa, and he was a rookie, and it created Eric Armstead as a stud, and obviously DeForest Buckner was on that team. We kind of forget that before those seasons, before Robert Saleh took the Niners defense to another level, like, those weren't nobodies, but it's not like they were stars before then. Like, they became stars under the Robert Saleh defense. Now, it doesn't mean that I expect Mykal Williams to be the next DeForest Buckner or whatever the case is.
Who knows?
But you entered that season similar to this season, being like, well, if this guy takes a leap, if that guy takes a leap, if this rookie steps up and does a really good job and you stay healthy at that spot, then you have a chance to be really darn good. Like, it's a little different a couple of years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and the offense was amazing and the defense was still pretty darn good, but probably not as good as it was in 2019. That was a veteran-laden team that had all these proven guys all over the place, and you could plot out very easily, well, if he stays healthy and he stays healthy and Purdy doesn't regress and his elbow's fine, they're going to win the division and they're probably going to be a top two seed and they're going to have it in their power to go to the Super Bowl and maybe win it. And that's how it played out. But when you're kind of in a reset mode, like the Niners kind of are right now, you get McCaffrey back and Purdy back and Kittle back and Warner back. You have your pieces, your key guys, but you have a lot of others and question marks elsewhere. It kind of feels like how that 2019 season felt, where you could kind of see, like, all right, if you check that box and you check that box and you check that box and you're healthy, you're going to be pretty darn good, but you just need a few things to go your way.
No doubt. I remember, I wonder how many people really, like, access this now in your mind, if you will. Go back to prior to the Garoppolo Super Bowl year and what you thought the Niners were going to be going into that year. And I remember,
Garoppolo was coming off of an ACL tear.
Correct. And the station for which I was working at the time did videos of everybody there, and they said, okay, what do you think the Niners are going to be?
Predictions.
I did my video, and I said, I think you're going to go 10-6. And everyone's like, you homer, you piece of crap homer. They don't have answers at X, Y, and Z, and this and that. And 10-6 turned out to be 3 games shy of what they ended up achieving.
13-3.
That team, with Robert Saleh's defense, was coming off of a year, you'll remember, where they only intercepted the ball 2 times. And the same group came back and had an elite defense. They added Nick Bosa to it. This defense under Robert Saleh loves to do things pass rush backward. That's how they build themselves. Pass rush backward. Oh, we don't have defensive backs. Wait till you see what defensive backs look like if the quarterback doesn't have any time. And so this defense has got all kinds of question marks and injuries right now, and I understand that. But they're also a much younger group than they were before. I tend to think that can work in your favor if you pick the right guys. I'm not going to say we know who a lot of these people are yet. We'll see if they can play. It does look like the 49ers are optimistic about them. But here's the larger point. I think a lot of us, when we're looking at the 49ers, we're thinking all about Brock and George and Christian and Trent. And I want to tell you, coming up next, why we're probably looking at the wrong side of the ball when we assess who the 49ers are going to be this year. So, first of all, this is a little bit of a conversation about simple optimism or pessimism and where that sits right now when you look at who the 49ers are and what they are as we hit this OTAs week. So, we'll take your calls right now. Are you feeling optimistic?
Yes.
Are you feeling pessimistic? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls on that right now. Grandy's in for Dibs. We're sponsored by Safeway. It's Willard and Dibs.
Just rush only 4 and still get there with Bryce Huff. A bullet off of the edge for the sack.
It is now. back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know why my mind keeps going here. I think that most of our listening audience, like, you came in today and you're like, they got Bryce Huff!
Bryce Huff!
And I think 98.2% of Niner fans are like, who? But I thought of this. At any given moment, and not like you're the wrong person to talk to, Mr. Pre- and post-game coverage on 95.7 The Game. At any given moment, how often does this happen to you? You watch a football game, your favorite team, and someone will make a play, and you're like, I've never heard of that person. I have no idea who the hell that is.
That's what, like, preseason week three is like.
For you. I think a lot of my friends is like week nine. And then there's this that I've long thought this
number
should be
number 45 on on punt coverage.
Right, like who?
Who the hell are
who
you?
Who is that? Who is that? Who was my man on the defensive line last year? Was it Sammy O?
Okwuanu.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that was one where the first play he made of the year, I'm like, are you on the team? Like, where did or did somebody break in?
And then we all just called them right. Sam O for the whole season.
Everybody gave up. Exactly. But this and this is the one I really think the NFL ought to make a rule. I'm not kidding. In 2025, NFL needs to make a rule. If you're not on anyone's fantasy team, you're not allowed to score. I'm sorry. We can't do that. Like, maybe on special teams. If you return a punt, whatever, that happens.
Well, yeah, but I have the defense and special teams, so I get credit for it anyway.
Exactly. But every week 11, right, the Panthers will drop back. And they'll like, oh, he's looking, right? There's like one player on the Panthers who's on everyone's fantasy team or whatever.
Third string tight end scores a touchdown.
Exactly. Yeah. And they run some trick play, and some guy is spiking the ball, and you're like, I have never heard that name in my entire life. That doesn't happen in other sports.
It'll be like if Luke Farrell scores a touchdown for the Niners this year.
And most of our audience just went, I'm sorry, who?
Probably the Niners' biggest free agent signing of the year.
It was their first.
Yeah.
It was their first signing.
Luke Farrell. I think tight end for the Jaguars last year, I'm pretty sure.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
A tight end for the Jaguars, not the tight end. Not the one that was allowed to score touchdowns for fantasy purposes.
Evan Engram.
Yeah. When he played. Which was rare. Thank you, Lucas. He was my tight end in this 95-7 The Game league.
That's rough.
That didn't go too
that's
well.
That's rough. I love that we're talking well. Football. Do you want,
yeah.
Do you want, it's a Friday and it's a beautiful day. And
my
if you're,
God, I was sweating on the way to work
yeah, if
today.
If you're elsewhere, not in San Francisco, hope you're staying cool. It's perfect in the city right now. But so we don't need to brighten up our day like more than normal because it is already such a great day. But I saw this tweet earlier today and I had to bring it up. Scott Hansen, one of our favorite people in the NFL world.
Is he leaving?
Announced that he's coming back for NFL Red
Let's
Zone
go.
Next year. And he added this important detail.
Let's go.
We are only 100 days away from the
Come
first
on.
NFL Sunday.
Come on.
100.
Scott Hansen is literally so there's the lovely Christy. We don't live together yet. And that may not actually happen for years. We're going to be married and not live together because there's 700 kids. So, like, I mean, who has enough bedrooms for this? So anyway, but I would let her be, quote unquote, the fifth member of our family. The sixth is Scott. I just want everyone to know that. That's the way it works in my house.
Scott Hansen will always have a seat at my table, specifically on Sundays.
There's three kids. Christy, she's got the first next seat at the dinner table. The next one is Scott. And I judge that based on how beloved people are by my children and my family. If Scott Hansen came over for dinner, I'm pretty sure they would sub me out. For sure. That's how beloved Scott and NFL Sundays and Red Zone are in the Willard home. That is big news.
100 days.
What you just told
Scott
me,
Hansen is back.
I will break that at dinner tonight.
Oh, you're going to be the king of the night in your house.
There will be whoops. There will be whoops and high fives tonight at the dinner table. So that's exciting.
100 days away from Scott Hansen saying 7 hours.
Come on.
Commercial-free football.
We got to get him on maybe even like before the season starts.
Go to the Octobox.
Yeah, he's easier to get, I would think. Can we get him like the last week of August? I still, by the way, never Dad was never cooler than the day that we had him on. And I told him how much my kids loved him. And then he did something where he like specifically named them. He's like, you tell Jude Nabe or whatever. And I got that clip and I took it home. I mean, you'd have
thought. They just lit up, huh?
You'd have thought they were on the red carpet at the Grammys. They were like, Scott Hansen's talking about me on the radio.
Puff their chests out a little bit.
Yep. So anyway. But
here's a couple inches.
Here's what I was going to say, though, about the side of the ball and the Niners. So they make a move for the defense today. We sort of establish, again, Bryce Huff, and he's pass rushing specialist, so he'll be there second, third down, whatever. But the bigger point to me is they're really leaning into Saleh. And I'm a huge Robert Saleh fan. I think he's a wonderful coach. And my optimism around the Niners right now is more based on that than me being able to X and O with you about what Mykel Williams is going to do, because I have no idea what he's going to be able to do.
There's
a lot of rookies that need to perform this year, but my belief in Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh is very, very high. And I think I kind of see behind their eyes when I see them talk this week, they're excited. And I know people are talking about vibes and all that, and that's great. But here's what I'm thinking. The defense, not the offense, is going to be why the 49ers make the playoffs this year. Because Robert Saleh is really good at his job. And if they rush the passer very well this year, and today I think is a big step toward us feeling like they will.
Feel better for sure.
Okay? Yep. If they rush the passer well this year, I want everybody to think about who is the quarterback on the other end who is going to dice up the 49ers plus level pass rush, because the quarterbacks that they will face this year go like this. Sam Darnold, I have no damn idea.
Tyler Shuck, probably.
Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix, CJ Stroud, probably Russell Wilson / I have no idea.
Jackson Dart.
Stafford again. Murray again, and then you've got, I guess, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Bryce, sorry, my mind went to Stanford running backs.
Great, yes. At Stanford.
Bryce Young, mm-hmm. Followed by week 13, I have really, 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 really no idea.
Shadur Sanders. Dylan Gabriel.
Then you're going to get Cam Ward. Then you're going to get, I have no idea.
Anthony Richardson?
Or Daniel Jones. Followed by Caleb Williams, followed by Sam Darnold. You will notice that the names Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love. You will notice that none of those names came up. So if the 49ers even have a pretty good defense, they are going to eat this year because they do not have to face any of the elite players at the quarterback position that this league has to offer almost. I don't want to disrespect Stafford, Baker Mayfield. These are good players.
Kyler gives them problems.
CJ Stroud. There's good players out there. But the elite that this position has to offer, the Niners don't play them. They just don't play them. They might have to beat them in January, you hope, but they don't play them. And so if you rush the quarterback really well, which Robert Saleh has a history of doing almost everywhere he's gone the last 6 years in this league, when you do that, dude, you're going to win a lot of football games.
And you do that against elite quarterbacks, you're still going to win a lot of football games. Yep. You do that against this crop of quarterbacks, and the larger point is the schedule, and that's probably reason number one to be like optimistic of the Niners making the postseason or winning the division. My optimism isn't even necessarily about like over under 10.5 wins. I feel so good about the over. It's just like in general, I think they're going to be a better football team than I thought they were going to be once free agency opened and all of these departures were happening, and they were only bringing in a backup tight end in Luke Farrell from the Jaguars. I also think the other part of this, and this is what you're getting at when it comes to Robert Saleh and the defense specifically, one of the most like common and not necessarily like Shanahan haters, but people who are questioning Kyle Shanahan and his responsibilities. One of the most common things that people would say, I think there was some truth to it, was he just has his hand in too many baskets. He's too involved in everything going on with the 49ers. And you could feel like he was kind of babysitting each of his last two defensive coordinators the last 2 years.
To a degree.
Sorensen and Wilkes. I mean, you remember the game in Minnesota 2 years ago when Wilkes called the zero blitz at the end of the first half. And at that time, it was still Kirk Cousins who threw to Jordan Addison, ripped the ball away from whoever the safety was at the time. I can't.
It might have been Ward. It might have been. I don't think it was
some random veteran who filled in.
I look it up.
Anyway, ripped it away from the safety, and then he goes 50 yards for a touchdown to close the first half. And he ultimately comes out post game that day and says that can't happen. Ridiculous to call a zero blitz in that situation. And then he brings Steve Wilkes down from the booth and has him on the sideline because he tries to fill what Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans did. Do you have an answer for who the safety
was? It was Charvarius Ward.
It was Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, ball went right through his hands.
Yeah, and anyway, it resulted in a touchdown. And Shanahan maybe, you know, could have seen that the corner was there in the right spot, but whatever. It was a touchdown. It was a bad call, whatever. So he gets upset at that. And you kind of feel like he had been in a situation where what he had to do for the defensive side of the football probably took away a little bit of what he was able to do for the offensive side of the football. Because you just have so much consciousness and so much ability to go around. It's not infinite. And if you're worried about one half of the football, it's going to take away from what you're able to do on the offensive end. And you know me, I was frustrated a lot at times with the way Shanahan was generally pretty conservative and vanilla offensively, and you get him into a situation now where he can trust fully what's happening on the other side of the football. Results aside a little bit, you just trust that who is running that is doing everything possible and is getting the most out of that group. It's going to allow Shanahan to take a step back from that side of the team and then hone clearly into what he does best, which is what's on offense.
I totally agree. Like I think it allows you, and this is to get a little X and O-y or whatever, and that's kind of funny on May 30th, but like, you know what just popped to my mind when you were talking was the game in Minnesota last year where the 49ers backed Sam Darnold up inside his own five, and I think it was the very first 99-yard pass right over the top of the defense.
Justin Jefferson.
And exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that I think drove Kyle Shanahan nuts, and it made fans come out. You know, I get it. It's the NFL. You come after the head coach, you come after the quarterback. And I'm like, but those are the things that have nothing to do with those guys whatsoever, and it's totally hamstrings what they can do, because they're trying to play essentially like a field position game, and you couldn't play a field position game because that's not even the only example. How many times do you feel like other team was backed up inside their 10 and then it would just like, whoop, okay, now they're at the 30. Well, that ruined that, because the whole plan there was you're backed up, we're going to have a pass rush that's going to put a lot of pressure on the other team, it's going to force a 3-and-out, and we're going to get a short field, and we're going to get points out of that. That's the way you play football. And they couldn't do it last year because their defense sucked. They just did. They could not stop the run. They could not get off the field on third down. They could not stop from committing penalties. So there were games where they had leads, like the game against the Rams, and they just let it completely, they just let it absolutely disintegrate in front of their eyes. It does not mean that the offense and whatnot and the head coaching, everything needed to be better than it was last year. But I just think this is so fundamental. Everybody gets to have their plan, right? You're looking at it with Buster Posey right now with the Giants, right? You have a plan. You can see it. We're going to go pitching in defense. Maybe boring sometimes, but we were just reminiscing a few minutes ago because some highlights were up here about the 2014 World Series Championship for the Giants. And
the
what
team
was
had no business.
Right.
They had a
go
pitcher
ahead
and a half going into the postseason. They started Juan Perez in Game 7 of the World Series, and that's your World Series champion
right
that year.
And in Game 7, they went 1-2 punch of Tim Hudson and Jake Peavy, and both of them were 80 years old and ineffective. Yet somehow, they only gave up two runs in that game. You know, shout out. Oh, who's my second baseman's name who did the double play?
Joe Panik.
There you go. Joe Panik and obviously Mad Bum.
Who Michael Morse, game-winning RBI.
Right, which probably had an exit velo of 12. So that, like, they were not great, but what did they have? Ooh, a bullpen. And what does this Giants team have? A bullpen. And why do they have? I know we're frustrated with them right now, but why do they have more wins than losses? I'd argue that's why. So whether you love it or not, that's his game plan. The 49ers in this era are most comfortable when the center of their team is the pass rush. That's who they are. That is their philosophy. You're allowed to disagree with it, but it's been pretty successful. And when it goes well, everything around it seems to work. Secondary starts to play better. When the defense plays better, a little bit less is asked of the offense. If the offense stays healthy, Christian McCaffrey, whatnot, you definitely have enough to put a lot of points on the board. And that's what they mean by the connectivity. Everything starts feeding each other. So that's what I love about today. With Robert Saleh, allowing him to go get his own guys and to really focus again on the pass rush, to me feels like the 49ers getting back to who they are.
Yeah, no doubt. And you laid out like all of their defensive issues last year. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't rush the passer. They couldn't really do a whole lot of anything defensively last year. The offense, believe it or not, despite everything that happened, wasn't terrible by any means. But the defense was just absolutely a mess. And then you try to wrap your head around, okay, that's the reality of last year's team. And then they go and they get rid of multiple starters. Malik Collins, defensive tackle, see ya. Leonard Floyd, edge rusher, see ya. Devondre Campbell, whatever. That's not even worth bringing up. I shouldn't have. Mooney Ward goes. He had extenuating circumstances with his personal life, and you wish the best to him and his family going forward, but he's not back. You lose Dre Greenlaw. That was maybe the one the Niners felt like they let get away.
Yep.
Talanoa Hufanga leaves as well. You don't feel terrible about that, although...
I'm sorry to say this that way, but shoulder shrug.
Although now you don't really have any safeties you feel too good at the moment because Malik Mustafa is dealing with an injury, and you're going to have to start probably Jair Brown, who maybe you don't want to start, and then somebody else to begin the year. We will see there. So for the short term, maybe you're going to miss Talanoa Hufanga, but probably not once you get Malik Mustafa back. So you have what last year was. You have that exodus of, I guess talent is the right word, but you have the exodus of a lot of starters last year, and you don't really have any additions. And maybe it's short-sightedness by me and a lot of other Niner fans. I'm sitting there watching free agency happen and thinking, like, you were bad. You let half of your starters leave, and you didn't really do anything to get anyone else. How are you possibly going to be better? And I'm sitting here now on May 30th looking like, well, you know, Mikael Williams, you know, you hope that your draft pick comes around. Now you have Bryce Huff. You hope that he turns out to be better. D. Winters, another year as a starter, potentially alongside Fred Warner. You get growth from the Renardo Green. D'Amador Lenore steps into the number one cornerback role, and you have the workings of what could be a really big defense. But to I think a lot of Niner fans' point, maybe who don't feel as optimistic as I do and as you do, there isn't a lot like specifically I can point to that is, well, they lost this guy. This guy's better than him. That's why they're going to be better. It's more so just a gut feeling. It's just trust I have in who's leading the way.
That's the word. That's the word I was sitting here waiting to say, trust. And you know, I get it if you're not there, 49er fans. But you are, and I am, the combination of Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan, to me, John Lynch too, the whole system, like, I trust it. I absolutely trust it. It does not mean the year will be perfect. I don't know yet who's going to get hurt and whatnot. And yes, there are questions all over. There are names who are going to be a big deal for the 49ers this year, and we don't even know them yet. I know most people can name Mikael Williams because he's their first draft pick. You know, you talked about D. Winters. I think that they might actually be paving the way for Nick Martin, who's a rookie out of Oklahoma State. But I don't know if he's going to be any good. I know they want him to be. I've heard that they feel he's going to be. But the lights haven't come on yet. right? We're still there. It's just it's not even like late practices. It's only early practices, but that's what it comes down to. I really trust Robert Saleh. Mm. And I think that this defensive coordinator journey that we've been on over the last 3 years is a big deal. And that's not to blame any individual. I know there's a lot of feelings out there about Steve Wilks being a scapegoat for everything having gone wrong. I don't really look at it as blame. And even if you do want to blame the defensive coordinator, I think it's almost easier to blame whoever hired him.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, if that's not who was going to work your system, then why'd you hire him?
I mean,
and then you let him go, and then you gave it to a pup who was clearly overmatched and not ready for the job. Don't even know if he ever will be. And that didn't work. So I just look at Saleh, and then you even look at DeMeco Ryans, having come from working right directly underneath Saleh and what he was able to achieve. I think that that speaks volumes, man. And he's back. And that I have a ton of trust in, even not knowing who some of the particular players are going to be.
I don't want it to, and I see this coming in on the text line from the 925, talking about what I said earlier about Shanahan maybe having his hand in too many buckets and it's taking away from what he was doing offensively. The 925 says, wow, Kyle just really can't do anything wrong, LOL. Kyle Shanahan is far from being without blame in the way last season played out, but even the way that the defense has played out the last couple of years, there's no doubt. You mentioned the decision to hire Steve Wilks in the first place. I don't know what the hell they were trying to convince themselves of. First of all, they go into that offseason with DeMeco Ryans leaving, and they go into that offseason saying, when asked, what are you looking for in your new defensive coordinator? And they said specifically, they said, we want someone who will run our system, who our players aren't going to have to adjust to, who will run our system and is comfortable running our system, has experience running our system. And they go out and hire a guy in Steve Wilks who has never once run that system before. And then they appear surprised that it doesn't go over super well. Like, that made absolutely no sense to me.
Was that game like week 5 or week 6 or something like that?
Well, that was the second of their third consecutive loss after they were 5-0. So it was okay. somewhere around week 7.
Yeah.
Because they lost in Cleveland to snap their 5-0 start.
He called him out publicly in a press conference, which tells me that they were already butting heads. So like
before, even during the win streak,
yeah,
probably.
Before the halfway point of the season.
So Shanahan's not blamed by even a mile. Like he deserves a ton of blame for what happened last year. My only point is you pair him up with a defensive coordinator that he feels 1,000% more comfortable with and is more trusting of, then he's going to be able to put 100% of his energy into making sure the offense is as good as possible.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to talk about a really good text. 415 sent this in. Scott Hansen, good news. Chris Hansen, bad news.
Oh.
Now, does that go over your head? Or, Lucas, do you get that? You get it?
Yeah, I know who Chris Hansen is. Yes.
Why don't you take a seat right here at the bar? And oh my God, it's the best television show that's ever existed.
What are
Steve
you doing
did
here?
Ask back here if there was a relation.
Well, that'll be our first question for Scott the next time he jumps on. I bet he gets that question a lot.
Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What was your plan here tonight?
Two main questions for Scott Hansen. I bet he gets more than any other. Number one is obviously, when do you pee? Like, no, for real. I know he gets it a lot,
yeah.
Right? 7 hours. When do you pee?
Every interview.
Right? And then the other one is, do you know Chris? Anything relation there? Anything going on? All right. We've got some a zinger or two of a Warrior conversation, I think, to have, but not done yet with the San Francisco 49ers. I actually want to, throw a little bit of a curveball and try something out that we may be doing in the football season. And it's basically called Brock Orr. And we'll explain this coming up next. 888-957-957 is the number. Grandy's here, everybody. It's Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.